Yo, what's up, baby? This is Bert Watson, and you're listening to Pro Sports Podcasters, baby. The best sports podcast on the internet. The only one I know. Your night, your fight, you need to get it right and listen to Pro Sports Podcasters all night long. Boom.
We are the Pro Sports Podcasters, where no sport is left behind.
It's time for another episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters, with your hosts, Nee Wallace Bruce, Corbert Durand, and Justin Williams.
On this podcast, we have guests from all over the world, covering every sport from artistic gymnastics to weightlifting.
We have something for every sports fan on PSP. Whether your interests are the athletes playing the game, the coaches, or the media, we've got you covered.
Fun and informative, honest and engaging. You won't want to miss a single episode. So let's kick this off.
Are you ready to stay fit this winter? Get off the couch with Kettlebell Kickboxing Canada.
Sign up now to their mobility and movement program. Use the code PSP15 to get 15% off the one-time purchase of the program.
Then it's yours forever. No additional subscriptions or fees. The program is available worldwide. Now, back to the show.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters. I'm your host today, Justin Williams. And today, I got somebody with us, man. A guy who we've worked with before. We've had him on not too long ago. This gentleman, but having him on is always a pleasure and always a treat. This gentleman is quite literally everywhere all the time. Does not sleep, does not stop. Taking photos. He's doing interviews all the time. This guy is everywhere yet nowhere and somehow managed to find me on a billboard. But we'll talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one, the only, and a friend of the show, Mr. Elias Larati. How you doing, bud?
Thank you so much, Justin. I really appreciate that that introduction. It means a lot to me, and I take a lot of pride and a lot of professionalism in my work. And as you said, it's been quite hectic the last couple weeks.
Yeah, do you want to kind of touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so actually, we've been talking with Nee for a while, and I was writing for a Northern Tribune until probably about, I think, October. Mm-hmm. And then Grey Cup weekend, I did the Grey Cup. I was at the Grey Cup, and then I went for Canada, Jamaica, and then a week after, Northern Tribune decided to go our separate ways. So then I was looking for another outlet, and I know you guys were always, you know, looking for content. So I reached out, and then you guys were nice enough to offer me a nice little opportunity to cover, like PWHL hockey, soccer. Even boxing, you know, I was recently covering boxing for a different site, and I don't know if anyone knows, but I actually recently launched my own Patreon, so I've been trying to do that as well. So I mean, the last weeks have been crazy with CONCACAF W Gold Cup, with covering Montreal and the PWHL, basically, you know, boxing as well. I did an event last week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been quite hectic. I was saying to you off air before, I've literally had 9 hours of sleep in the last 3 days, because Thursday I was at the casino, Friday I had to go to Toronto, and then I came back this morning, and then yeah, it's just been super crazy.
Man, this guy never sleeps. And you know what? We just became a triumphant. We have Kobe joining us coming in. Kobe, how you doing there, bud?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, I'm still getting used to the time zone here, so sorry about being late.
Don't worry about it, buddy. You're fashionably late. Fashionably late. We were just discussing Elias's his kind of hectic little week going on that he's had, and constantly just everywhere. So he didn't miss too much, and we're glad to have you on the show, and glad that you're safe from your travels. Very glad that you're safe.
Oh, yeah, man. It was a good trip.
Yeah, it was indeed. We'll have to talk about that later. But back to Elias real quick. Mr. Elias, you were at a boxing event recently, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was at the Eye of the Tiger on Thursday night. The main event featuring a Montrealer against a native from Toronto. From Montreal, Mr. Stephen Bang Bang Butler, going up against Toronto native Steve Rolls. And yeah. It was actually pretty interesting, because Rolls right now is 39 years old. Mm-hmm. He's lost now... he's actually only won three of his last seven fights. And before the fight, the question was, you know, this guy didn't end his career. You know, he's about to reach 40. You know, what will be the fight like? And I had a chance to talk to him at the press conference on last Tuesday. And he told me he felt he was ready. Even before the fight, I was shown odds online. And Rolls, the 39-year-old, was actually the favorite, plus 140 if he had actually won. And honestly, it was probably one of the fastest main events I've experienced, like being on site, being there. It lasted 1 minute and 5 seconds. Butler, just out of nowhere, pulled a right to the point where Rolls was literally like knocked out. But because of the ropes were literally holding him up. And all of a sudden, Butler just started throwing rights, at least maybe 10, 20 in a row, before the ref, with a late defense, basically just stopped the fight.
Oh, dang. How did the place react to this?
Yeah, it was pretty hectic, you know, being in Quebec and, you know, fighting against a guy from Ontario. There's always going to be that rivalry, that extra motivation. And, yeah, the crowd was just in shock, in awe, and couldn't believe that it actually happened that quick. Even myself, I was watching this maybe like 10 feet away, and I was like, man, like, is this fight over already? Like, I wish it had like lasted longer. I actually felt bad for Rolls, who barely didn't even get a chance to really show what he could do.
Oh my god. I mean, yeah, it's always kind of sad when quick fights like that happen. I mean, you can argue the Francis Ngannou boxing match just happened, also ended quickly. But there's also something very powerful about watching two gladiators go at it, and then all of a sudden, one drops and the story ends, kind of deal, you know?
Exactly. Definitely, for sure.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of Ngannou Joshua. And right now, I mean, boxing is trying to make a comeback, right? Boxing was kind of out of the public eye for quite some time. Then you had the exhibition matches, which drew in some interest, but this being an Olympic year, and you've got someone like Francis Ngannou on the stage, boxing is making a significant comeback, and I've come across more people that are actually gaining interest in it again. What's the scene like in Montreal right now?
I mean, honestly, I've done so many sports. I've done hockey, I've done soccer, I've done tennis, and honestly, boxing is actually one of my favorites because it's actually such a fun sport to cover. And the athletes you're covering are so open and down to earth. Like, some of the nicest people you will meet, they'll give you your time, no problem. And the access has been amazing. You know, I have a tiger. I don't know if I had a chance to research it, but it's a amazing little company. And they have a little competition going on with Jim or Goupy Von Michel. And yeah, it's very interesting. And they're always fun events. And it's great to really, you know, see the sport grow in our province. And actually, speaking of that, we actually have a Quebec native, the only title fight on the card. It was for the WBC heavyweight. We actually had a Quebecer, Vanessa Lepage-Joannis, with a split decision over an Argentinian, Abril Vidal, become now the world champion in her weight division, which is honestly unprecedented. And actually, it's kind of sad because one of my mentors works for 98.5 FM radio. And he literally texted me Friday. I was on my way to Toronto. He goes, it's sad that she's literally a world champion and there's almost like no one covering this right now. And I go, yeah, that's why like I went there. I did what I could to my best to cover the sport as much as I could because me too, I want to help grow boxing. Like I said, boxing is one of my favorite sports out there. You know, it's always fun. And no, I definitely agree. But even if the fight was sort of controversial, I actually wrote about it in my piece for Pro Sports Podcasters. It seemed like Vidal had won that fight, and the way I had it unanimous decision. But actually, she ended up winning a split decision, which kind of threw me through the media and threw the fans off a little bit. I was actually chatting with a fan who was watching closely, and she was like, "Yeah, I agree that she won, but maybe like by that score, it was kind of like not like representative of the fight, and maybe there was a little bit of favoritism involved as well in the final result."
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, when it comes to judging in any sort of combat sport, there's always going to be some controversy. But I mean, in that case, you're saying the right person got the W in the end, and that's all we're actually going to notice when they look at the records years from now, right? Even a year from now, no one ever remembers how it happened. People just remember what the record says. And if it says W, says win, then that's good enough.
Exactly. I think Albert Einstein has a quote where he says, nobody cares how long it takes. They only care about the results. And it's kind of how it goes sometimes, unfortunately, for that kind of situation. But to kind of further that point, Elias, when you were there in the arena, in the stage, watching all that transpire, is there an up-and-coming fighter or somebody that the world should know about slash keep their eye on?
For sure. There's the young Montrealer by the name of Wilkins Matthew. He's now 8-0 with 5 knockouts and made easy work of his opponent. He actually ended up fighting an opponent from Czechia and knocked him out 2 minutes into the second round with a pretty mean right hook.
2 minutes into the second round with a mean right hook. Oh my God. It was like right hook to the head, to the ribs. Like, was it like?
Yeah, it was right hook to the head and then he just dropped.
Dang.
It actually happened so fast that I barely saw it. And then he basically, I spoke to him after the fight, and he sort of gave me the opportunity to really explain what had happened and what he had seen. And actually, he really surprised me because Wilkins told me, listen, that first round, I did a little bit of scouting because I never saw him fight. I saw him a little bit on YouTube. I wasn't sure what to expect. But first round, I basically scouted him. And then second round, I said, listen, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to knock him out. I'm going to take the win. And I'm going to remain undefeated.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Confidence, apparently. Oh, my gosh. Is he known for that? Like, is that something that he's known to do? Or is that kind of like a bit of a fluke thing?
I feel like he's grown as a boxer. When he his first couple of fights, he was the type of player who was always trying to be fight a fighter, who was trying to be more aggressive and just go for the wins. But now I feel like he's being more methodical. Saying, listen, I can't just go in there guns blazing because, you know, there is a risk that, you know, it could come back to bite him in the butt. So, I mean, I feel like he's growing and he's maturing and he could be a serious contender potentially one day for a world championship fight.
Okay, we kind of like to see that. We like to see kind of the up-and-comers and seeing what's happening there. To kind of further this point moving forward a little bit, You were there for the whole event, right? Like, you didn't miss a spot?
No, I did not.
Okay. Was there something in the, I don't know if you'd call it the prelims, but the early matches that kind of caught your attention?
I mean, just the way, honestly, I have to bring back up Wilkins Matthew because I was actually focusing on 3 major fights. Mm. I was focusing on Wilkins Matthew, I was focusing on Vanessa, and I was focusing on the main event, Butler versus Rolls. So those were the 3 main fights that I was gathering because I'd covered Wilkins before, I'd covered Vanessa before, I'd covered Butler before. So those were the 3 main, you know, Montreal-connected boxers that I was looking at. There was another fight, but unfortunately, the majority of the media we were doing, because usually what happens is the fighter who wins, they'll do media scrums literally after the fight. Like, they'll walk out of the ring, they'll do a medical, they'll do an interview for TV, an interview for radio, and then they'll do an interview with the media in person. And literally, we were doing media in person. And Eye of the Tiger had signed a guy from Argentina and a guy from Mexico for a fight. And the fight literally lasted, I think, maybe 2 minutes. And apparently, the Argentinian guy basically threw, another mean right hook to the rib of his opponent. And the guy also just dropped.
I mean, yeah, I kind of get that. When I was looking at the stats over here, there was all the fights essentially were knockouts except for 2, which that was decisions. So this must have been like a really bumping card to go to. So I get why media and press would kind of be all over this.
No, I definitely agree. And it was actually, there was a lot of fights where that went by really, really quick. And we thought, okay, this is going to be like a quick night, or sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's quicker. And it got to a point where, like, there were probably like 10-15 minute like intervals between each fight because the fights were actually going like extremely fast.
Yeah, definitely was.
Yeah, for one, I love body shot knockouts, man. I love body shot knockouts. How did you find the organization of the event?
Oh, it was extremely well organized. Like I said, like to get interviews with boxers. Basically, the boxer wins the fight. As I mentioned, you know. Does a quick medical, does a quick interview for TV, a quick interview for radio, and then you have them in a scrum right away. And then, let's say, for example, like, there's that fighter is bilingual. They'll do, like, the French media scrum, and then you'll be able to pull them aside. like what I did with Wilkins. I was able to have him one-on-one. And I was actually able to ask him questions in English so I could have the audio. And, you know, it's actually really, really cool. And they're really open. And that's why I said it's one of the best sports to give you so much media access. And, like, you're dead center in the middle of it, basically.
Now, was that your first time at one of their events, like at one of that promotion's events?
Oh, no, I had been covering these type of events for probably, I would say about a year and a half.
Okay.
I was focusing a lot on Kim Clavel. I don't know if you guys have heard of her. She won the Pat Tillman Award because during COVID, she actually she had gone to medical school to be a nurse. So she actually dropped everything during COVID. She's one of those stories where she was a boxer and then she dropped everything during COVID to go to the hospital and basically, you know, help people, be one of those frontline workers. And she won the Pat Tillman Award at the ESPYs. And then I started covering her. And then there were some others. So other Quebec names like Marie-Pierre Houle. And also there's a Montrealer by the name of Caroline Vair, who I'll actually be covering next week. She's actually a native of Paris, France. But she actually competed for Canada at the Olympics. And now she's slowly on her way to becoming a well-known name. And she's young in her career, but I think she's going to be a very, very tough pro to beat. I don't think she's lost a fight yet, to be honest.
Is this going to be at the same venue?
Yes, it's actually going to be at the Montreal Casino again, but it's a different company. So basically in Quebec, as I was saying to Justin, there's two different boxing companies. There's Eye of the Tiger and there's GYM, which is Group Yvon Michel. And basically those are the two main competitors, you know, competing against each other.
Okay. So they're the two primary promotions and they've exactly signed X number of fighters, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And what's the casino like when you're watching a sporting event there?
I mean, actually, you walk in the casino, like everything's like you expect. It's a casino, and then they have what's called the cabaret. So basically, it's a different venue. It's like you're inside. Like it's like almost like a small little arena, and then okay, the media actually gets their own table set up and right in front of the ring, and then you know there's seats around the ring basically, and floor seats, and then there's seats higher up, and then it's just basically like a small little venue. But yeah, it's actually very popular. The event was actually sold out, so there was not a seat. There was not one seat available, and then basically the people who didn't get tickets had to stream it on a different site.
Did you win or lose money that night?
No. So I actually, when I'm covering an event, I have a very strict rule that I don't do that on events that I cover, or events that I work on.
Okay. Well, we'll go with that. We'll go with that.
Because at Pro Sports Podcasters, Cody, we are professional. Right, Elias? Professional.
Exactly. No, I'm someone, like, I'll be straight up, you know, in the meeting with you guys, I said I'm someone who's has a very strong work ethic. And I don't know, I just feel wrong doing it because, like, I feel like it's giving me an unfair advantage, like, if I know what's going to happen. And then, you know, it's just for me, it's ethically wrong to do that. So that's why I refrain from doing it.
No, that's totally fair. Like, I much respect to you and thank you for doing that. Kind of pushing forward, being an interview, somebody who is in the heart of it all. How do you know what first question to ask, especially kind of after like a title fight or some big event? Like, how do you know what to ask?
I mean, it's a post-fight probably is more reactionary stuff. So like how did you see the fight for yourself, or what did you expect, or did you see something that maybe caught you by surprise, or this happened, did you see that coming, you know, really to get their reaction, their perspective, their side of the story, that way you can tell it properly.
All right. Now, hypothetically, if you were watching a fight or an event, whatever it is, and it was a little bit of a drag, what's something you do to kind of have like add a little spice to the questions, kind of keep them engaged, maybe trick them a little bit?
I would talk mostly about their preparation and how their camp went for them, and you know how long it was, and if they feel that it really, really helped them in their win against their opponent.
All right, cool. Now, what's your strategy dealing with guests who don't really want to talk, or fighters or athletes that are kind of just more reserved?
Weaponized.
That's actually one of the things I love about boxing. I haven't yet had one bad experience with a boxer. They've always been open to talk. It's a little difficult because the majority of the time you'll have boxers that only speak Spanish. So you're afraid from speaking to them unless you're fluent in Spanish. Otherwise, English or French, like, I haven't had an issue. Like, people have been willing to talk, because the thing is that these type of boxers, they're not like huge names yet. So like when they have like that media attention, they're actually open to it. And I found it similar actually with women's hockey. They're actually like, they're open. They'll give you all the time in the world, you know, whatever you need. They're more than open to it. And they're actually happy to do it. They're actually doing it with like a smile on their face.
We love to hear that type.
So you said you've been very busy lately. What's next for you?
So actually, I just came back from Toronto this morning, and I'm actually going to be in Laval tomorrow because there's another hockey game. And so Montreal is hosting Ottawa in Laval tomorrow at 4 p.m. And then next week, I'm back at the casino for more boxing.
I know you're not going to bet on it, but who do you like in that Montreal-Ottawa game?
I'm really a Montreal guy because, you know, I feel like we're number one in the league. We have one of the best teams in the league. I don't know what's going on with Toronto. They are just extremely hot, and it was really interesting to see because at the beginning of the season, I don't know if you were following the team or not.
I was there. It was embarrassing.
I wouldn't say embarrassing. It's just that they were very slow out of the gates, and then the way Campbell has dramatically improved is like eye-opening, to the point where they're like, okay, they just won 9 games in a row. They've literally shut out Montreal, the best team in the league, twice by the same exact score. Like, that's like eye-opening and like catching, and like, you should have actually seen the media attention at the game last night. There was at least maybe 15-20 journalists in that media scrum for Toronto. And I was literally the only media reporter from Montreal who was actually in attendance.
Yeah, I know. It was there was no space available. It was full up last night for media, which was good. But yeah, to begin the season, they were garbage. They were the worst team in the league, right? I think it just took them a while to figure out what kind of hockey they wanted to play. And it's not all Campbell. The defense has a bit to do with it too. They were giving up way too many like 2-on-nones in the first few games of the season. So the whole team's improved. It'll be interesting to see where it all shakes up come May, right?
Yeah. So actually, I'm really impressed because the season is so short that a slow start could set you back so to a point where you could potentially miss the playoffs. So I think they got hot at the right time. And big credit to Natalie Spooner, who's using that mom power to really carry her team. I think she's the number one with goals, and like, she's been that star and a player. I'm really surprised that Sarah Nurse hasn't, I don't know, what I've seen, Sarah Nurse hasn't really been there yet. But I feel like really it's Natalie Spooner, it's Emma Malte, it's Hannah Miller, it's Christian Campbell somehow doing a 180 on the way she's played. Like I remember that first game against New York, and I was like,
that was hard to watch.
Yeah, it was. I was like, really? And I'm like, okay, Toronto's not going to be good this year. Like, okay. And then, you know, they suddenly turned it around. So yeah, no, that also has been an amazing experience. I have to say, one of the nicest players I've actually spoken to, funny enough, is Marie-Philippe Poulin. She is so chill, so humble, like so down to earth. Like, I'll literally walk into a game like 3 hours early and she's there stretching, and she will literally say hi to you, and she'll like wink at you, and like, she's so chill. I did not see that at all. I'm like, this is Marie-Philippe Poulin. This girl's won like 3 Olympic gold medals. She's won maybe like, I think, what, 3 or 4 world championship titles. Like, she's one of the best hockey players in the country. Like, I did not expect that from that type of high caliber player, but honestly, so chill, so down there. The whole team's been amazing. Laura Stacey, I have to say as well, I'm really, really impressed with Corey Chevry, really always, you know, giving her time. And everyone's been super, super good. And I think it's a great league with a lot of potential, you know. And there's actually a lot of American markets that are going on social media saying, hey, you know, we want a team. We want to see what we can do. I've heard of Vegas. I've heard of Pittsburgh. Now they're going to have a game in Detroit. Detroit potentially could be a market. So it's very interesting to see the potential of the league growing. It's good to see that the league is now being backed by people who actually have serious money. I mean, when you talk about the Walters group, who just gave $700 million to Shohei Ohtani, can now take, you know, hopefully invest similar to that for women's hockey.
Yeah, they got an 8-year commitment, so they've got 8 years to prove that it's going to be legit. I mean, I don't like the idea of Vegas. I mean, that's just doesn't really work travel-wise. Detroit makes complete sense. That would work. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how they go. I don't know if they need expansion right away, but the league itself is looking pretty good to begin with.
And it's extremely competitive. You know, you have amazing teams in Ottawa and Minnesota. New York, too, is a physical team. And honestly, right now, I was just trying to find the line between what is a penalty, what isn't a penalty. Yes. I hate to say it. But there again, for another game, we actually saw a cross check to the back of the head. And Corey Sherby was not happy by it last night. She's like, when you have a player come back to the bench covered in blood, even through her cage, it means that something happened. And, you know, that needs to be fine-tuned. And I even spoke to Laura Stacey, who is the player rep for Montreal, for the union. And I said, will you bring that up at a meeting? She goes, 100%, because we need to make sure that this has to be a penalty. This can't be a penalty, you know. And when it gets dangerous and violent, like, that needs to be called. And honestly, I wasn't the only one who was surprised that play wasn't called at all. I don't know if you guys watched the game or not, if you saw what I was talking about.
Yeah, no, I've seen a few games where they kind of let them check to a certain degree, and it's fine. Then I've seen other games where you can't really touch an opponent, or the referees are right on you. Then I've seen other games where blatant penalties that would be penalties in the men's game don't get called. So the referees need to get on the same page.
Here's a perfect example. I've seen open ice body checks that don't get called, but then I'll see a player 5 seconds put on another player, and they'll call that as a penalty. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like,
it's ridiculous. You don't know what's going to get called. You have no idea. You just watch the game and you see something, and I'm thinking, oh, there's a penalty, but nothing gets called. And then someone just gets rubbed up against the boards and the whistle goes. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'm in the press box watching replay. And I'm like, okay, that's a penalty. And then you see like a full on body check. And you're like, oh, no, that's not a penalty. Like, it gets to a point where it's like just frustrating. And you're like, can they just call it correctly? Like,
yeah, but I mean, a lot of the referees get there early, right? They get to the rinks early. A lot of those rinks are licensed, and things happen.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very frustrating to watch a sport, and then especially with the rules kind of be almost arbitrary in a sense.
Like
in the World Cup. And but you know what? In like a weird way, I'm just very happy this is getting such media attention and growing the sport of women's hockey, that if this is the cross we have to bear, so to speak, you know what? I'll take it for now. But I expect excellence next season.
Yeah, man. Mass media has jumped on. Like the big thing, I think, was the Scotiabank Arena game.
Oh, it was so cool.
Right?
I was there, actually.
Yeah, man. That's what's brought big media in, right? They weren't really talking about it much. It might get like a 10-second blurb, you know, on one of the shows, news shows or such. But once they had the Scotiabank game with the sellout there, it's like now everyone's on board.
By the way, there is a rumor out there that on April 21st, Montreal will be hosting Toronto. That game potentially could be at the Bell Centre. And once again, they're looking at potentially breaking the record once again.
Right on.
I mean, it would make sense because Montreal has had it in two separate arenas twice, at the Verdun and the Place Bell. So just have it at a third. Just Montreal just plays everywhere. It just goes all around that province. You get a game. You get a game. You get a game. It'll be at McGill University.
If I could be brutally honest, yeah. Montreal is playing Toronto next Wednesday, and they're playing in Pittsburgh. When they announced that they were playing in Pittsburgh, I was like, okay, does that make sense? Like, you're sending Canadian teams to an American city when you could have just said, okay, we're going to put you in, you know, in the Bell Center or something. And then, like, I didn't get that. But after I heard that there was a potential for April 21st at the Bell Center, I started feeling a little bit better.
Yeah. That's American money. American money, right?
Yeah. Money. Exactly.
All right, Elias, thank you so much for coming on the show. Before we get you out of here, my dude, where can our friends, family, and my mother find you on social media?
So it's actually pretty simple. On X or Twitter, whatever they're calling it these days, at Elias Lorati. Instagram would be Elias.Lorati. Facebook, Elias Lorati. It's pretty simple. So I really appreciate you guys having me on to talk about some boxing. And we didn't talk about Kobe. I don't know if you heard, but I saw Justin on a billboard last week.
Oh, yeah. No, he's been in that campaign for ages. I'm on that campaign too, eh? No, without even realizing it, one day I saw a picture of Justin on a Facebook ad, and I'm like, oh, shit, he did one of those Cineplex campaigns. And I did a Cineplex campaign as well. And we didn't even know that. Like, we had been working together, and we had no idea we had both done campaigns for the same company, literally shot at the same place.
Yeah.
But most of mine is online media.
So I was actually walking downtown, and I didn't even expect that because you know how Montreal has the old forum. So what it is that they turned that forum into, like, now there's like Dawson College, there's like a couple of shops, and then there's the cinema, the Cineplex. So I'm walking by there and I just see this billboard and I see him. I'm like, okay, like, he's going to lose his mind. And I'm like, that's the guy that I'm working with right now. For like, I was like, oh my God. And I didn't realize how popular he was. Like, Justin Williams is a name that's, you know, should we see him at the Oscars this weekend or what?
You'll see me at the Junos.
Over a million on OnlyFans, right?
That's it. But realistically, you're going to see him at the Junos this year. All right, Elias, thank you so much, brother. It was a pleasure. We have to have you on again.
Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
Good talking to you, buddy.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast.
For even more of your favorite sports content, be sure to visit the website www.prosportspodcasters.com.
On our website, you will find our sports blog, full podcast library, access to our YouTube channel, and deals from our affiliate partners.
You can also sign up to become a PSP Insider and get exclusive access to our insider tips, sponsor giveaways, and insider newsletter.
So don't miss out on the full Pro Sports Podcasters experience.
Where no sport is left behind.